New from the Horror Vision Press. Sean C. Baker's Shadowplay Book 1, Kim and Jesse. If our reflections woke up, would they hate us? Would they envy our world? Would they try to take it? Two worlds on a collision course and 15-year-old Jesse Roberts is caught in the middle. Shadowplay Book 1, Kim and Jesse is available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold. Also available, A Collection of Desires, Seven Tales of Modern Horror. These seven tales bring the horror home to our modern world.
Hi, I'm Garth Ennis, and you need to be listening to Drinking with Comics.
Thank you, sir.
No worries.
So, hello, welcome to Drinking with Comics, the relaunch.
You okay with that title?
Sure, Rebirth, New 52, whatever.
No New 52. Okay. So, I'm Sean, this is Mike.
Hello.
And we have a new location, so we are at...
We got kicked out.
We are at 400 East 3rd Street in Long Beach, beautiful downtown Long Beach, LBC. And Mike has a new shop, Atomic Basement Comics.
Comics and Creator Lab.
So, Comics and Creator Lab. So,
cheers, man.
Dude, cheers. Yeah. So much good fortune going forward on all your ventures, but especially this one. And
this will be my last venture.
Sounds ominous.
This is it, man. Like, you know, this is it. Why do anything else? You know, this is it. This is a culmination.
But hopefully, this will lead to new ventures sprouting out of this, right?
No, I just want to do this, and I'll write more comics and stuff. But more comics.
It's a platform by which you can, you know.
No, this is a comic shop 100%, as how I would envision a comic shop. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So when you first announced you were doing this, I remember you had some, you know, you said, okay, to start out, this isn't going to be the biggest comic shop.
No.
But it's going to be a uniquely curated comic shop experience.
Yes.
I think those were your exact words. And I remember because I'm like, okay, I think like 9 out of 10 people that would say that would not really have any like idea how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, oh, well, I put Star Wars under S instead of, you know, putting it under Dark Horse or whatever. Or they're not Dark Horse anymore, they're Marvel. But you know what I mean. So, I don't want you to give away all of it, but do you have anything you can share? Like, what do you see in a month? What do you see in 6 months?
Well, I mean, what I see in January alone, dude, is crazy. Today was our first day doing this show. Earlier today, we had 7 creators here signed. Well, actually, 8. Raphael showed up, too. We had Vince Hernandez. We had... Zen, we had Don Nguyen, who's went to go get some tacos, he'll be joining us later. Christy Shin wasn't a guest, but she's here. There she is, demon bitch. And it was just a great day, and the energy and the vibe was awesome. The neighborhood's great. You know, I saw some of my old friends and customers I hadn't seen in, you know, since I left the other location October 17th. Which, you know, I don't know, like, I'm an extrovert. I don't know if y'all notice this, but I feed off people's energy. And you know, me and Tony had our nose to the ground, just like ground or grind. Is it grind or ground? I don't know.
Grindstone.
Okay, yeah. Nose to the grindstone. You know, scrubbing floors and.
If you saw this place before we came in, you wouldn't recognize what it is now. It was like a very bland, gray and white textile sort of office cubicle sort of place, and we turned it into this, you know, striking. What I think is striking. You know, black and yellow.
You're a big fan of Bumblebee Man, are you?
Why not?
Okay.
I'd like to get a Bumblebee parked outside. Okay. Hey, what's up, John? So, yeah, I mean, but what's going to make the store, I think, unique and different from other shops is, you know, we are going to have a wide selection of Marvel, DC, independent comics, media tie-ins, local creator stuff, every Wednesday night, starting on January 22nd, we're going to have what I call The Lab.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a creator meetup from 7 to 10 p.m. on Wednesdays. People can come in, make their comics. Brandon Easton is a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a professional writer. DJ Kirkbride, I'm sure, will be coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have some people that are seasoned and experienced here to help those who, you know, haven't done this yet.
Right,
they just
right.
need a little guidance. Don Borgmeyer, I'm looking at you, baby. Your comic looks great. So we're going to do that. And, here's what's going to make it a little more different and unique is August 1st, whoever is an active participant in the lab and finishes their product by August 1st, I've got a committee of five creators, me, Joshua Dysart, Brandon Easton, and some others, who are going to review the books, give it a number grade from 1 to 10. And so it's not just me, and I'm like, if like the one person who wins is going to be ecstatic, right? But the one who, the four or five who don't, are going to be pissed. So we're going to grade it on a scale of 1 to 10. Whoever gets the highest number, we're going to publish your book. And Long Beach Comic Con has agreed to give them a table at the show.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so I mean, yeah, we're, that's, and it's going to be published under Atomic Basement Comics, but they do retain their rights
to the
property and stuff. Yeah,
Atomic Basement. So this isn't the first. So Atomic Basement before this store was your imprint, right?
It was.
So you
yeah.
You did Guns A-Blazing. You did Mac Afro, and you did Gone South. Right?
Gone South. Yep. So, and other stuff too.
And
yeah.
other stuff too. Okay.
Kids of Whitney High. Tex, which was an anti-Bush comic back in the day.
Wait a minute, kids of Wembley High?
Whitney High.
Is that the same? So the
special ed school?
The Ipecac Records put out the two albums.
Yeah, did you not know I did that comic?
I didn't know there was a comic.
There was a comic, yeah.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, I did it.
And I believe our friend Vince was. Didn't he work on one of the albums? If I'm not mistaken,
the guitar player Vince.
Yeah,
yeah, he was a member of the band.
Wow.
Yeah, and Robbie Rodriguez, who created Spider-Gwen, was one of the artists in it. Raphael did some. I have to get you a copy of that. Yeah.
I would love to see
it.
I didn't
that
know
was a
know
great project, man. It was fun.
Yeah. I knew about the albums.
I wrote Battlestar Galactica. Yes, Lonnie, I did. Oh, I'm watching you, buddy. Yes.
The original one. You wrote that? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I created
I'm kidding.
Galactica.
I like to keep them honest. Starbuck, that was all your
good
idea.
Good luck with that. But, yeah, no, so, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun here. Like, it's going to be awesome. I've got... Our grand opening's happening January 18th. We've got a lot of great guests for that. There's a really awesome secret special surprise that I can't talk about.
Okay.
But you'll want to be here from 12 to 3. And what's not a surprise but will surprise your taste buds is the lasagna that my girl Orso from Modica's is coming in. She's going to be bringing some awesome... I love lasagna. You know I love lasagna?
I know you love lasagna.
I fucking love lasagna, man. So, yeah, there'll be lasagna. There'll be comics. There'll be creators. There'll be cosplayers. I think there's a Mandalorian coming. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, you want to be here, right, guys?
Yeah. Woo! Yes.
Yeah. All right. Woo. So, yeah. What else can I say?
No, that's good. I just, you know, I was looking at kind of a snapshot. I wanted to just hear it, you know, so everybody could hear
from
it.
From the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
I do want to plug my buddy Rod Espinosa, creator, artist, writer of Adventure Finders, is coming in all the way from the Philippines.
Is this Adventure Finders?
It's right up there, yeah. Check it out. It's a really cool book. He's going to be here on the 22nd, along with Brandon Easton, who's writing Marvel Action Spider-Man number 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Which has Miles Morales, Spider-Gwen, and Peter Parker.
Okay.
And they're going to be signing from 4 to 7, and then from 7 to 10, they're going to be part of the lab that night. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so it'll be good. Rod just won some crazy award. They're flying him out to France.
And then here?
And they're flying him here. No, he's coming here on his own wings.
Right on.
Yeah, but he's awesome.
Well, dude, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the, I don't know, have you had time to read anything? Watch anything?
I read Superman number 18.
Okay, so now you told me a little bit about this, and I did not read it. So
that's okay. I
had
you.
Two jobs for this episode. One was to see Star Wars, and I couldn't bring myself to do it.
You didn't watch it?
I will see it eventually. I just, you know... And then the other one was to read the Superman comic, and I just didn't have a chance. So Bendis is writing Superman, right?
He has been writing it for about, I guess, a little more than you. I guess less than, I think it's biweekly, so a little less than a year, actually.
That's one thing you got to love about Brian Michael Bendis is that motherfucker does not sleep. Because, dude,
he's got like 10 kids or something.
And we're talking like he wrote at Marvel in that prolific capacity for over a decade, and then he just pretty much piggybacked like right over to DC, and it seems like he's doing the same thing.
You know what's funny? I think kind of what happened... with me is like Bendis did this a year earlier where you kind of get into a routine, you know, and it's good to kind of break that routine and play with some new toys and some new characters in this case. I used to love his stuff. Powers was fantastic.
I really liked
Alias,
comic.
Which was...
Alias was fantastic.
What's her name?
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones.
That's the book that...
I mean, if you look at the Marvel Netflix output, it's all based on Bendis's work from Daredevil, to Jessica Jones, to Cage. That was all Bendis. I do think that, you know, he probably got a little, I don't know, used to or tired or bored.
Well, I mean, and after a while, like I was thinking about this today, and so you know, after a while, he, what more is he going to do?
Right. You're working somewhere for 20 years.
Yeah, he revamped every... I mean, you remember, like, I don't know, 7 years ago or whatever, when he jumped from, like, the Avengers titles to the X-Men titles, and then he, like, went to work on those, you know? And it's like, I mean, I don't know. I would imagine that he was like, you know, I want to try something differently. Also, I would imagine DC was pretty much like, we'll give you whatever you want, please. Because it's
I'm enjoying the Superman stuff. And I don't know if you read Naomi.
No.
It was Bendis and David Walker. But yeah, that's a great book.
Is it?
I think there's only 6 issues, and they're going to do a season 2 soon. But
so part of how he does things there, too, is he has his... Is it Jinx World, the imprint, where it's his stuff like Scarlet? So Scarlet was a Bendis Maylev book I was a big fan of when it was, I think it was Icon was putting it out. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
But it was so, I mean, I think in like 10 years there were only six issues.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know it came back at DC, and he picked the story. It wasn't like I'm going to relaunch it. He picked it up because it's about a girl whose boyfriend is unfairly killed by police, and she basically kills a cop, and then starts this whole revolution of people against violence by, you know, the law, the body of law. It's fucking great.
I read Cover. I read the first issue
of that. That was really good.
Cover is about a comic book artist who's hired by I think it's the CIA.
They send them to different comic
conventions around the country or around the world to pull off, you know, covert ops missions, which is pretty awesome. Yeah.
The first issue was a really good setup. That was about a year ago, right? I think
Yeah. And then there's Pearl, which I also didn't read, but yeah.
And then he had another one, like United States of Murder or something like that. I don't know anything about
that
one. I think that was him. I'm pretty sure that was under his imprint, at least. But so DC obviously said, come and write our books.
You can get your own books.
Take this flagship title.
I don't think he's got any Jinx World stuff coming out now, though.
Well, he might be doing it in seasons, too.
Maybe, yeah.
That's probably.
Joe Hill's got a line.
Yeah, Hill House.
They call it a pop-up label.
Hill House.
Are you reading that stuff?
You know, I want to, but I'm honestly, so this is one of the things, like, since the last time we did this show, like, I don't read
many. When's the last time we did the show?
Well, we did the Walking Dead special, which was kind of an impromptu when it ended. But other than that, we haven't done it in probably about a year. Well, no, the last one was Christmas, I think, 2017 in Chicago.
Well, our gift to you in 2018 and 2019 was not doing shows.
Yeah,
we're
so
back.
Now, so we retract that.
We didn't talk about what we're drinking here, and we did buy this at Hops and Vines next door.
So cheers, motherfuckers. It's a hazy double IPA.
Cheers, motherfuckers, too. Who's drinking out there tonight? Who's drinking out there
Lewis
tonight?
Lewis is brown bagging it.
you got the same thing.
Nice.
Psychic ass motherfucker. How you doing, dude?
Good.
Awesome. I'm great.
So, but I mean, I haven't really read a lot of comics, and one of the things that prevents me from getting into new comics right now is, so the Joe Hill stuff I want to read. I don't want to read it monthly because I don't want to look at their fucking ads for Snickers. Seriously, it is the most annoying thing. So I guess
Are the Snickers ads in the story?
Oh, DC has these Snickers ads. I mean, maybe, and it's like the whole Justice League,
it's like
in
the
there,
Batman
and
thing.
It's like. Motherfucker,
they're like
Snickers.
The old ho-ho ads, right?
Yeah, but
that's cool.
No, it's not. It's really not.
Well, just flip. It's like when you're watching TV.
No, but here's the other thing. No, see, I don't watch TV with commercials. I don't want to have to do that.
Well, maybe
shit.
Get the trade because I don't think they have Snickers.
So here's the thing. That's where I'm going with it. It's like I want to support monthly comics, and there are a few that I still do.
But you won't because of Snickers.
No. The ones that I do, they now are like so Criminal. There's so much back matter in Criminal that you're not going to get in the collected editions, that it's worth it. Also, there's no fucking ads. The only ads are in the back for the other Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips stuff, right?
Right.
So it's an uninterrupted read. So that is glorious. And I've been spoiled, I guess, by reading a lot of independent stuff where there are no ads, or the ads are either at the front or the back, and it's not Snickers. It's, here's other books by this creator. Right?
I have a solution. So if you buy your books at the Atomic Basement,
you will take the ads out for me with a straight razor?
I can glue the pages together.
I don't want to know how you glue the pages
together. I can read it to you and tell Sean, close your eyes, because there's about to be a Snickers ad, and I'll turn the page, and then you open your eyes back, and I continue to read it. We provide services such as that here at the Atomic Basement.
I might take him up on that. Because
I want you to be able to experience the comics you want
to
read.
Well, no, I do. I mean, I still, like I said, I still
no
read
Snickers.
Some other stuff, but...
Can we eat Snickers when we read it?
Yeah, but I don't want ads interrupting the fucking story. It's just
that's the business model, baby.
I understand that. But the other thing is like, do DC
Snickers or, really satisfy?
No, no, wait a minute. Do DC or Marvel? No, so you're telling me these books are basically tied into the mega franchises of Hollywood, right? And they need to have a fucking ad in a $3.99 comic book. I mean, Image, most of that stuff is creator-owned. They're not tied into these huge juggernaut money-making movies, and they don't have ads.
Well, the reason Snickers advertises in, like, Batman as opposed to Vampirella.
Well, they're not going to let him ever.
Right.
Not,
I mean, there's a bigger audience. You know, they want to, you know, they want exposure. And,
but, I mean, don't you think, like, Walking Dead, that is the, you know, arguably it is the best or the most successful independent comic ever.
Right.
And there were no ads. The only ads at the end of that book were, like, here's a sneak preview of a new book by this creator. Yeah. That was it, you know? Yeah. I mean, so it's just one of those things. It's like, I remember, you ever heard of the band Negative Lane? Very media manipulating group, right? So they had this whole thing in the 90s called Ipsid, and it was this concept album about the Cola Wars, if you remember that.
I remember Max Headroom.
Yeah, well, so
wasn't that Max
the thing with the Negative Land album was they had a, like a dossier inside the liner notes. It was basically like, you know, really like these advertisements are basically like junk. And if one of these just didn't advertise, like why do these mega companies advertise?
You know who did the jingle for Snickers, don't you?
Alan Thicke?
No, Positive Land.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
We're here all day.
You are a wealth of information, my friend.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
So Superman 18. So he announces to the world that he is Superman.
You know, he has this sort of come to Jesus moment where, yeah, he's like, you know what? I am Clark Kent. I am Superman. Like, I think it's a metaphor for, you know, just coming out of the closet whatever, and just telling people who you are. Take it or leave it.
Right.
And, you know, there's a really cool scene where he has a conversation with Jimmy Olsen, and Jimmy Olsen's like, yeah, I kind of knew all along, you know, like.
Yeah, you weren't really fooling anybody.
Yeah, he takes his, I think he either takes his glasses off. Yeah, he comes to him as Clark Kent, takes his glasses off, and does a little spit curl, and he's like, what are you trying to look like, Superman? And then, it's a good, I would recommend it. It's one of those wow moments in comics, like, you know, Death of Captain America, things like that. But the thing with Bendis is, even though, like, maybe it's gimmicky for Superman to reveal his identity to the world.
Maybe, maybe not.
It's well written. You know
well,
what I mean? Like,
I
Death of
say.
Superman, I don't think
it's
is
not
very
well
written.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it was a big, oh shit. You know why they killed Superman, by the way, in Death of Superman?
Because he sucks? I don't know.
No. Because Lois and Clark was on TV, and they, like, Superman got engaged. And then they delayed the wedding of Superman on the TV show by a year. So DC had to do something to kind of kill time for a year so they could get married in the comic at the same time
wow.
as the show.
I mean,
they killed him. And
I didn't think it was possible for me to respect that storyline less, but you made it so. There
right.
you go.
Make it so, number one.
So this is interesting because I guess I was thinking about you telling me about this comic, and I guess I just assumed that he had already announced that he was super. Like, I didn't really realize
that's
that he.
A new thing, yeah.
I mean, there is that thing with comics where, you know, they remain kind of, you know, what's like 10 years has passed probably in Superman continuity in the whole time
since 1938,
yeah,
you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I mean, they, you know, they relaunch and stuff.
So, yeah, right. Yeah. But there is this compression or whatever. So, but yeah,
I was tripping
that
out.
Happened.
The Simpsons has been on for 30 years. And I asked Graham, because Graham's watching it now. He's watching, he's like, he's committed to watch every single episode.
Wow.
I was like, is Grandpa Simpson still alive? Because fucking 30 years ago, he was 80, right?
Well, Bart's the same
age. And Bart's still in, like, fourth grade or whatever.
Homer hasn't had a heart attack, I don't think. Or maybe he has, I don't know.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't?
Yeah.
No?
I guess totally unrealistic writing.
Yeah, they should do, like, a Simpsons where, or yeah. a Simpsons kind of show where people age in real time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be cool, like. What would Bart be doing at age, you know, 40, which is what...
Heroin? I don't know.
They had a joke on one of the newer seasons where Sideshow Bob actually kills Bart, and he's like, I've been trying to kill this 10-year-old boy for 25 years.
Cool. There you go.
I love Sideshow Bob.
Is it ending soon, or...
No. I hope so.
No, Danny Elfman, like rumored that it was going to end.
No,
people freaked out, and
It's never going to end.
It's cool. It shouldn't.
That's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with
that. Is that the longest running show on television?
I believe
it has to be, right?
It is, right?
Yes.
Look at that. Bernice dropping knowledge bombs over there. Are you wearing your button? You're not wearing your button.
No, it'll go on my coat. Don't worry.
You're doing the show, man.
Well, we're having a. I don't have a button on right now. No, I'm sorry.
I got him a Snickers button, and he won't fucking wear it.
Oh, my God. Anyway. Amazing. Okay, so, what? Oh, you know what? Let's talk about The Mandalorian.
Okay, I loved it.
Yeah.
Who saw The Mandalorian? So, Baby Yoda.
So cute.
I what? You don't like it?
The child. No.
I know.
He punched Yoda.
That was not nice.
Oh, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard the actors getting like death threats and shit.
Oh, come on. It's like, people, it's a fucking TV show.
What happened?
Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, and
that was him.
Yeah. So he's like, people are threatening him?
Yes.
Dude, it's a number one. All right, I'm going to break it down, dude, for you and for the rest of the Star Wars fans out there.
Okay.
It's like either CGI or a puppet, all right? It's not a real Yoda, okay? I love the people like they get mad when somebody calls it Baby Yoda. He's not Yoda. He's the child.
So this is going to lead into I have a theory I developed the other night. I literally woke up at like 3 a.m. couldn't get back to sleep, and we had just watched. We're behind. We watched 6, 7, and 8.
Okay, so you've seen them all.
So I woke up and this isn't a spoiler, but. So I was reminded of a conversation where somebody, I said Baby Yoda, and somebody's like, that's not the species name. And I'm like, okay, so first of all, there are so many fucking species in Star Wars, and all of them have a fucking name, right? I mean, the day after, it was the Cara Dune is fighting that guy with that, like, electric belt, right? And all these people
Who's
Cara
Dune?
Gina Carano's character.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
So she's fighting this guy, and, like, immediately online, people are like, oh, he's Darth Maul's species, the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck. You know, I would never know that, and I don't want to know that. But the point being, is there a reason that there is not a species name for the Yoda? And so my theory that I arrived at, sleepless at 3 a.m. the other night, is when does The Mandalorian take place? It takes place after Return of the Jedi,
like
right?
5 years or something after Return
What if Yoda just reincarnates after he dies? So maybe that is just Yoda.
No, because Yoda was...
Yeah, there's a Yoda ghost.
5 years before, and the baby was 50 years old.
Go get laid, Lewis.
Wait, Lewis. Come here. Lewis, come here. Come here. You have to say that on camera, because I couldn't follow anything you just said. But there's a part of me that just abhors Star Wars knowledge, so I'm like, okay, so.
Bust it.
So, Mandalorian takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi, which is 5 years after Yoda died.
Okay.
But the child was 50 years old.
Well, but who said that? So,
they say it on the show.
I know they say it on the show, but I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, that little chain thing or whatever that had like his numbers and stuff.
Yoda's like 400, right?
He was 900.
Because I just thought it was weird that, A, there's no species name for that in a franchise where there's a species name for everything.
But George Lucas always wanted to keep that very mysterious. So, like, Yoda, he never revealed anything about him.
Okay.
And the only, like, thing that really... was like new information about Yoda at all was when they had the one other Yoda species character on the Jedi Council in episode 1.
I don't even remember.
Was there another Yoda?
Okay, so
Yoda. Is it like I know ETs are in there, right?
But the interesting thing about the age of the baby Yoda is that it was born the same year that Anakin would have been born.
Oh.
I don't know if that means anything or not. Or if it's
Grant has a theory that he's Sith. Because he does the the choke, which only Sith can do. Yes.
Well,
Luke did this choke. Is not school. You don't have to raise your hand, darling.
Can we go and like just accept the fact that Yoda is a baby daddy?
Yeah.
He knocked boots with the owl.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wait. Do you know the name of the
is that,
female?
Is that something
Yoda?
People do? Fucker and chucker.
They do. Well, I mean, if he's a baby daddy, you know, I mean, there's nobody else.
I think this is the prime time to change the subject and bring the demon bitch on real quick.
Alimony, I will not pay.
You'll come back.
I will.
Lewis, this is Lewis Bermudez, ladies and gentlemen. He's handsome and he's single.
Thank you.
Terrible.
Well, he is.
I know, but...
Sup?
And also handsome and single is the demon bitch.
There you go. What's
okay, so...
Did you bring your books?
I did not bring my
books. I haven't met you yet. And all Mike, introduce me to her, but don't use the demon bitch.
That's all I know. I don't know anything else about it.
This is as mysterious as the Yoda species.
Here and I got you.
This is baby Yoda. Chrissy Shin, how did we meet?
Oh, I think we met at the Comic Bug, I think. And then we also met at LA Comic Con. We've known each other for a while.
Okay,
like, we've been in the same circles and shit.
She's crazy as fuck, dude. She's so crazy. I love her. Like, she, you know, like... Yeah, I mean, if you friend Christy Shin on Facebook, buyer beware, because shit's going down. You know, she does a book called Demon Bitch. Tell us the inspiration of Demon Bitch and what's Demon Bitch and what's it about.
Okay, so the story behind Demon Bitch, the actual character.
So that is your comic.
Yeah, that is
okay.
My comic.
He thought I was just calling her Demon.
I wasn't fucking sure.
This
I mean,
like the Me Too era. You can't go around calling people bitch unless they like it.
Well, I call Stephanie bitch all the time.
I know.
It's like a term of endearment.
No, we were me, you, and Stephanie and Chantha. Like, she doesn't. Chantha doesn't hang out. She's like, I don't like being called bitch all the time.
That's how we talk to each other. Hey, bitch.
Hey, bitch.
Hey, bitch. Bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch. I love you, bitch. You
know? Yeah.
So the story behind the character is that she's a low-level demon from the 13th pit of hell where people throw their dog shit in gum wrappers. She wants to bring the second coming of Armageddon to the planet, but the first one never happened, but she's a fucking idiot, so she just gets distracted from promiscuous sex and hard drugs. Like, she just... That's all she did. She just says, I want to
take...
So
she's a Kardashian.
I think Kardashians are more focused on their image, so that's why they actually make a lot of money, and they actually do have a strategic media-like thing. Demon Bitch just looks at it, does the selfie with her froggy, three-quarter, buggy-eyed, froggy look. Like,
is that Demon Bitch? No,
that's an actual good web
that's
comic.
Like
that's
Darwin Cook or something.
No, this is Rachel Smythe. She got picked up. Lore Olympus, if you guys haven't heard it, it's by the Henson Company. Jim
that's what Sean calls his penis, Lore Olympus.
It is. You've been reading my diary again, Mike. What the fuck?
So the background story is that...
I love you.
I love you too, but I wish you wouldn't tell everybody about my penis's name.
Lore
the fuck,
Olympus.
Man?
Hi, Lore Olympus. Go ahead.
Sorry, Rachel Smythe. We fucked you up your comic. So what it was is that, you know, being a woman, and I think a lot of us women can agree, we've all had shitty women friends, and women, like, just treat each other like shit. Like, let's just admit it, right?
Yeah.
The cattiness, like, to the level, like, that's worse than dudes. And so I had dealt with some real fucked up ex-friends of mine. And I just sat there and it's like, I hate you fucking bitches. Like, I hate this shit. I hate you. Just fall off a cliff and die. So the idea for Demon Bitch came out. So I just hated these girls and I just said, fuck you. So I just drew and wrote the shit that they said and it just expanded in this whole
thing. Have any of them read it, do you know?
I think one of them told me to go fuck myself.
So she did read it.
I think she read it, but I think it was another narcissistic bitch, but it wasn't about her.
Oh, that's funny. So they just self-identified.
Yeah. I noticed.
Was her name Russell?
Oh.
Sorry.
Don't worry. At home, I'm not in on that joke either.
I kind of know. I'm like, oh, man.
I'm just kidding. Okay. I kid.
I kid. Yeah, that was unexpected.
But, wow, I surprised the demon bitch.
No, I knew about it for a while.
For shocking.
I don't know what to do. But the thing is
I've never seen her speechless.
No, I was gibbering. That's different.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
That is different. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Okay. But it's just that it's funny because the people who hate it, there are people that don't like it and don't understand it. That's different. But the people that actually come at me viciously about it are actually girls, and they unpack the whole thing. They said, I don't know what modeling has to do with narcissism, and I don't know what all this other shit is about, and so I don't really get it, so you'll need to explain it to me. And this is the same girl that does this in her profile picture.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm not making fun of models, I'm not making fun of actors, I have friends that do both, they're very hardworking people, but the wannabes or the MAWs, like model actress whatevers, you know, Maws, I guess that's what they... The ones that just constantly talk about how they're models and they're actors,
but
they never do anything.
Well, people that actually
model,
do
right?
stuff are too busy doing it to talk about doing
I'm
it, usually.
Model. I'm a model.
Yeah, but you gotta say, I'm a model. I'm a model.
I'm
a
model.
Yeah, like you have... Yeah, and just have this sense of self-entitlement.
Yeah, I'm a model, goddammit.
Like,
give me free biscuits.
You know, I can say this from experience. The way Mike takes selfies is actually like this.
Oh, yeah, no, I got... I found out all my dick pics are in the cloud, dude. Like, I just renewed I had to refresh my Apple ID, and I'm like, and somebody's like, yeah, now you're in the cloud, dude. I'm like, what do you mean I'm in the cloud? Like, everything you send, everything you take, like, even my dick pics?
Especially your dick pics.
Did I tell you my dick pic story?
Can I tell you?
I'm pretty sure. Oh, wait, is this Alan Tudyk?
It's the Alan Tudyk story.
Tell
all right,
me.
Check this out. I'm going to tell you the story. All right. This is back when I was on Tinder. I met some chick on Tinder, and she's like, let me see your dick. So I took a picture of my dick. Best time to take a picture of your dick, boys and girls, by the way, is in the morning. That shit is fucking as hard as it's ever going to be all day. You know? So I took a picture of my dick, sent her a picture of my dick, and then I was an extra on that show Con Man with Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion. And so
I just heard somebody groan. No, they know where it's going. They know where it's going.
So I'm on the set, and there's a moment like where they're rehearsing, and the producer's there, and it's Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion. And I was like, I was about to leave. And I was like, would it be cool if I got a picture with these guys, Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion? And the producer's like, yeah, sure. So he takes a picture. But, like, if you look, well, I can't because I'm live streaming, but if you look, like, it, like in the corner of your iPhone, it's got, like, the last picture you took. And so I didn't realize at the time, but the guy just, like, kind of just gives me my phone back. You know, like, he doesn't look at me, he just hands my phone back to me.
He's literally like this.
He's just like.
And I'm like, that's weird. I was like, and I go to shake his hand, he's like, cool, man. Have... And, weird, like he was so cool, like, and then he just was just like, what the fuck? So then I looked later on, because you know, when you take a picture of celebrities, you want to look, and I realized, oh fuck, the last picture, because like this down here in the corner is my dick, and I'm like, fuck, you know. So yeah, this is what happens when I get my own store.
So where can people find Demon Bitch?
They can find it online on Amazon.
Okay. You'll be able to find it here if you fucking brought some.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I should have, but I was...
She'll bring
some. Well, I got kind of drunk the night before and shit.
Really?
No, I didn't get drunk.
Was it New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, yeah.
Yeah. I gotta pee, but I'm gonna muscle through.
Okay.
I'm gonna muscle through this. Let's see, what time is it?
Krista, thank you for being
here. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. This is your first time on the show.
Yes, it is.
Come here. Oh, I love this girl. She is awesome.
Thank you.
And then...
There you go.
Get in the hot seat, boy.
All right. Thanks for having me.
What's up, dude?
Dude, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
So what brings you to the Atomic Basement tonight?
Well, you know, have to be here for the first day of the Atomic Basement. I mean, that's just a given.
It's going
to
happen.
I heard that it was happening, so I had to be here for the opening.
How long have I known you? Like 15 years?
It's been a long time. I was thinking about that earlier today. Like,
I met you with Josh and Jamelin.
Yeah, so it doesn't go quite far back as Jeffries, but early comic book
I was at Jeffries, though.
No, but I wasn't around.
Oh, but I met you through when Jamelin and Josh.
Yeah.
You guys had a little studio, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was the studio called?
Well, Josh's thing was let's see, Big Boss Comics.
Big Boss Comics. Yeah,
it takes
that's
me
right.
Back a long time, right?
So
there.
Josh is writing like Batman, Superman, Flash.
With Josh
Williamson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on an episode of he was on the most debaucherous episode of Comic Book Geeks. It was Josh and who was the other guy that drew Necessary Evil.
Necessary Evil was that Jacob?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember.
No, Marcus.
Marcus, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, Marcus.
My bad,
right?
Marcus, if you're out there.
Yeah. So they were on an episode, and they were good. They were totally sober, good boys. We should link it. But so I brought this dude we met on the set. Remember that movie, superhero movie? It was like a Scream, but for superhero movies. It was like a parody of superhero movies. Came out. It was by the producers of Scream,
mm-hmm.
And we met the set painter, huh?
No,
what was
no, not Kick Ass. I know the one.
It was called Superhero Movie.
Yeah,
it's like Scary Movie, but superhero movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not Scream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the set painter, we invited them to be on the show because we would always get whoever we'd get to be on the show, and he had just gotten out of rehab. And it was my birthday, and somebody gave me a bottle of Jameson for my birthday. So we're driving down, and I was like, dude, I just got this bottle of Jameson somebody gave me. And I'm not a big whiskey drinker, but whatever. So we're doing a show. I'm interviewing Josh and Marcus, and I'd had some. I was pretty toasty. But the guy who just got out of rehab fucking polished the bottle. The bottle shows up. It's empty. I'm like, where the fuck all? And then... The guy's name is Lewis. You got to see this, dude. He is so hammered.
So this is footage that's out there somewhere?
It's on YouTube. I'll send the link. But it's and he like gave a blowjob to the microphone.
As you do.
It's crazy. It's the craziest fucking thing I've ever been involved in. And I've been involved.
Fuck you, you fucking fuck. Everybody.
Oh,
I will fucking shoot you dead on the...
Do these motherfuckers know who I am? Give
him it up. Give him your
face. I will straight blow your fucking face
he
up.
He wants these, dude. He...
I was born in, you know, then. Where's my money, Ben? Deep in that ass. What? You know, take it easy, all right?
Yeah, it's that level. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Raver J and some of your other stuff. What you got going on, baby?
So this is a book that I just edited. Came out from After Party Books. It's called Raver J. It's a raver superhero. So very.
When did it come out?
It came out just a couple months ago. It's on Sweet. Gumroad. It's like a 99-cent download. So
oh, nice.
Really, really cool.
What was the inspiration?
Well, it was a client of mine. Her name is Janine. She, this is like her, kind of her story about escaping the corporate world and having an awakening moment at a raver.
Did she work for Snickers?
No, but you know what? I should have said yes, because that would have been fun.
No.
So yeah, I edited this book. It was a lot of fun. It took a long time to put together. We got some great artists and great colorists on it. Carl Allstatter and C.C. Delacroix.
Oh, Carl?
Oh, wow, nice.
Carl drew some pages. Yeah, he drew the Sweet. Cover also and the back cover as well.
I love Carl.
So,
hi, Carl,
yeah,
if you're watching.
What's up? And then Vince was here earlier, but I'm the letter on Syria Underworld Pimp Hustler.
Did you misspell anything?
I did not misspell anything. Vince would have had a real tough time with that if that was the case. So no. But yeah, the book's out now on DriveThru. It was a very successful Kickstarter book.
Awesome.
Second issue.
Yeah, he made his like goal in like 5 minutes or some shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the only Kickstarter I've ever contributed to. And I was at his birthday party and I gave him $10. I just put $10 in his hands. Like, don't tell anybody.
Now you've told the world.
Contributed to a Kickstarter, everybody. You heard it here first.
But it was $10 cash, because if people saw that, they'd be like, oh, give me some money. You know, anyway.
And then out on Graphite right now, you can read for free my creator-owned book, Pink Power. This is something that I wrote. There's two issues out there. One available digitally right now on Gumroad, which is a new app, which has a lot of free comics out there. There are some ads, but that's what makes them free. So I would say...
What exactly is Pink Power?
Real quick, I just want to say, like, when you're talking about an independent comic and you have ads, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Because you're an independent comic.
Mm-hmm. It,
what I'm talking about is when you have Marvel and DC. It's gotten to be annoying, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, really? Anyway, I just want to point that out. So.
But, you know, as an independent person, you don't have to put in ads, you know?
No, so you don't have to, but I get it. They're there, I get it. I totally get it. So anyway.
So,
what exactly is Pink Power?
Pink Power is about a teen superhero who finds a magical pair of panties, and then an evil secret society sends skateboarding ninja rock stars to get him back.
Is there only one pair of panties? Like, what if she changes her underwear? Does she still have the powers?
No. The magic is in that.
Do you have to wear those fucking underwear every day?
Can you wash them, or do the powers wash out like color?
I mean, you could probably just go to the laundromat really quick, like, you know, 45 minutes, and you have Pink Power?
No, I don't have Pink Power, but that kind of reminds me of an anime. You remember Panty and Stocking?
That came out after Pink Power.
Yeah, really, that's not hard.
Yeah, somebody sent it to me. I'm like, hey, that looks really familiar.
Yeah.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah, it's like her panties turn into a pair of guns, so she takes her panties off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Don't try that at home, Christy.
Panty and Stocking.
Don't try that at home.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so everyone check that out. And then just a reminder, this has been out for a minute. The Circle is a miniseries that I edited and produced for Action Lab Danger Zone.
Oh, Action Lab, nice.
Yeah, so this one is really cool. You guys should check it out. It's about a teen who moves to a new neighborhood, makes some new friends. Turns out they're in a cult. They do a ritual, and some bad things happen. So the only way to break the spell now is to kill all his friends.
I am sold. You just hit almost every sweet spot that I have there, so...
Yeah, it's by Damon Clark, superstar writer, and art by Alizia Zerno. So
it's a great book. I read that. It was awesome. Damon's a great guy. So
fucking awesome, man.
Dude, thanks for being part of our very first ever day.
Yeah, thanks for letting me plug some stuff, you know, while
course.
I was here.
Amen.
I really appreciate it.
I think we have one more person to bring up, and that would be Mr. Don Wynn.
Oh,
all right. Good. Like, we bring people up so we don't have to be as entertaining.
Yeah.
We can just kind of let them talk and shit.
How are you doing on the urine meter?
Oh, I gotta piss like a motherfucker.
You wanna go piss?
Well, I was thinking about peeing in the sink over here.
Oh,
but,
God.
Grab your book, dude.
Do your Kegels.
Hashtag do your Kegels.
Am I grabbing everything or just the.
Yeah, get the main book. Main book.
Got it.
So, I'm gonna introduce Mr. Donwin. So, if you guys have been enjoying the Atomic Basement social media, which has been the countdown. I asked Don, I said, this was the job interview. I said, do you know how to count from 10 down to 1?
Maybe.
And I helped him. I had to help him like between 4 and 3 and 2.
It gets tricky in there. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, so we did the countdown, and that's pretty much all of our Atomic Basement.
I'm fighting the Asian stereotype about being good at math, right?
Got to fight back. Got to push back, man.
Yeah, hard.
But yeah, no, he's done an amazing job. He designed our sign, our t-shirts,
oh, wow,
our flyers, the Long Beach promo. Dude, like...
Hey. Not this shirt, though.
No, this is the old one. You wouldn't do it like this, would you?
No.
No. Okay, well, good to know. This is a vintage shirt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but no, the new shirts are really fucking sexy. As are you, pretty sexy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But aside from being Atomic Basement's lead production artist and stuff,
okay,
he's got an army of like 800 working for you, right? Seems like it. Cause
yeah.
I ask you for something and I get it.
Like, I've been cloning myself since I was a child.
Yeah. That's not what they call that. They call that masturbating.
Oh. Dang it.
But no, aside from that, he's also a very accomplished, amazing artist and comic creator of his own right.
Thank you.
Show everybody Pablo the Gorilla.
All right. So I got Pablo the Gorilla number one. This was kickstarted in July, funded in 72 hours. And it has a variant covered by two-time Eisner winner Dustin Wynn, who is not related to me, but I constantly get mistaken for
him.
People see the last name and the letter D, and they're like, how is working on Batman? I was like, I don't know, man. Let me walk you over to that guy.
Is that how you guys met? Like,
I think he just started following me on Instagram because he thought my handle was funny, and then we met at a convention, and that's how we got to know each other.
Cool. I heard he's a really cool dude.
He's super nice, yeah. And constantly getting mistaken for him does help.
Yeah. Oh, well, there was one time me and June, I'm going to say nice things about June. We went to Chicago Comic Con, Wizard World Chicago, back in like 2002. And when I registered our names, I registered June as Jim Lee. Because there's a slight resemblance. And like June was getting hit up for sketches all weekend. It was so funny, like, and he did one for somebody, and a horrible artist, but yeah, somebody asked him for a sketch, he's like, you really want a sketch? He's like, yeah, and he was at my booth, like, and so he drew, like, Superman, and it looked like a stick figure Superman.
Oh my god.
Art fans like, is this
Jim Lee sucks, man. No.
That's fucking
awesome. If you see Dustin
Wynn,
please go get artwork from him. He is the nicest guy, and he does.
Dustin is
phenomenal.
Yeah. What's he charge for a commission, do you know?
He doesn't do commissions, but he brings sketches of varying price points. So he has something for everybody. And I think they used to start at 25, but he's got them like at $40 now.
So are you going to be at our grand opening?
Yes, I will be at the grand opening on the 18th. Mm-hmm. And that's from 4 to 7 to 2? No,
12 to 3. With lasagna.
Oh, yes.
And you're going to be at Long Beach Comic Con.
I'll be at Long Beach Comic Con next week.
The 11th and 12th.
I've been telling everybody it's like 2 weeks away.
Is it 2 weeks?
No, it's like the 11th.
It's
right?
Like it's actually
almost
10 days
yeah.
away. 10 days away.
Ten
yeah.
days away.
Oh, so almost. Yeah, you can meet Don there. I mean, by all means, check out his book tonight. Tell us about Pablo the Gorilla, the inspiration, and.
I am inspired by a lot of the indie comics that I grew up with and love. So it's a little Ninja Turtles and a little Tank Girl and a little Hellboy, I like to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. But it's about a cyborg gorilla. He delivers pizza. He just wants to live his life, but unfortunately, the government that created him wants their AWOL pet project back. And he's also being hunted by something a little more sinister and primordial.
Ooh.
So that's the first issue. We want to see how it goes. It's always been a dream of mine to do a comic.
Oh, wow.
And
that's great.
I don't think you're going to find too many books out there in the indie crowd that
with
look
gorillas,
like it.
No,
yeah.
No. I mean, your art's amazing, dude.
Thank you.
It's got
it
a
is.
Great
I
t-
I
to
totally
it.
See the old school, like, indie
how many
book
issues
influence
is this
going to
run, do you know?
I want to see how this goes, and so far the feedback's been really good. I'm in the middle writing the second one, so I'm looking at 3 to 4 issue limited series. And run it all through Kickstarter. Hopefully everybody loves it. And then the other book, which I'm probably known for, I'm known as the Cell Phone Art Guy and the Inktober Guy. That's how a lot of people, I guess, lurk and find me. And this is our book from 2017.
My phone died.
With Jake Parker's permission, we were able to print it, and it was an Amazon Kindle number one last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Who's Jake Parker?
He's the guy who founded Inktober.
Oh.
Yeah. So we did this, and we got his blessing. Autodesk Sketchbook actually circulated one of the images from this. So I guess that's how it blew up. I don't know. I don't know how to do any of the Amazon stuff or figure that out. And yeah, we were just lucky enough. We beat out Star Wars, oh, and two Legend of Zelda books in the art category. So we were number one in no idea. We were number one in sci-fi and fantasy illustration, which is insane. And then we actually broke into print. So we're the top 100 for a day next to a Basquiat book, which is awesome.
Well, this is awesome too. It's prose.
That's very cool. So the guy I worked with, Andy Nordvall, he's a prolific writer. We did two Inktobers together, and he does NaNoWriMo, right afterwards, which is like 35 to 40,000 words. So he did this, and then he wrote a novel in November.
Oh, yeah, the November. Okay, yeah,
November. Write a novel in November. So he did this, and then last year I just did a zine as a comic. Well, the year before that, we did a comic called Smuggler's Curve. So in 31 days, we made a full comic.
Wow.
And we'll put you on the spot. Can I wholesale some copies of Pablo for
the show? Of course, yeah.
Okay, cool. We can do it. So you can buy it here.
Yes, and I'll even leave the variant cover here, which is limited print.
What?
Print run on regular
covers. How much
did I
sell for?
Regular,
dude,
No. The print run on the regular cover is $1,000. Okay. That's $5. And then the Dustin cover is $10.
Okay.
500 of those.
You heard it here first.
If I burn 250 of those, it'll be even more rare.
$20. Cool. Awesome, dude. Anything else you want to add or plug? Where can people find you?
People can find me at Long Beach. I'll also be at WonderCon upcoming year. I'll be at my own table, B50 in Artist Alley. I'll be at San Diego Comic-Con at a table. I like to say I'm at Ho. It's HH03.
Ho. Nice.
Yeah. That's the table they gave me at Artist Alley. The leader of the block on that table is David Max. I'll be next to Carl Hall. I'll be next
to
Carl Hall Center. Yes, I have met Dave.
Yeah,
he's super nice as well.
Yeah,
he's an amazing
nice
painter. So I'm super honored to be even anywhere near either of those guys.
That's great, man. That's awesome. Good for you. Are you going to be at San Diego?
Yeah, I'll be at San Diego. So I'm at HH03 at Artist Alley in San Diego. And then I'm going to be at FanX Salt Lake, Baltimore,
Heroes Con. Yeah.
Yeah, so just check my Instagram. I'm at Winning It. That's how most people.
And I'm going to, like white people call it, Nguyen. But no, it's NGUYEN.
INGIT, and that's my handle for Instagram and Twitter.
I'm really proud as a white person to be able to pronounce your name right.
Yeah.
Like I know what winning is.
Usually we're too polite to correct anybody. We just roll with it.
Yeah, no, I knew right from the jump. That's Don Wynn. And he does win every time.
Yeah, last year was pretty phenomenal.
It was great.
Yeah, number one on Amazon Kickstarter, had a short film premiere.
2020 is going to be... a short film premiere?
Yeah, I had a short film premiere in June. We were an official selection with the Dances with Film Festival. And then that project...
Are you a dancer?
No. The festival is called Dances with Film. Okay. It's been around for like 17 years, I believe.
What was your short film?
It was called Retro. It was a guy I worked with just wanted storyboards, and he took the storyboards and animated them. And then we're looking to kick that into a graphic novel.
Oh, nice.
And then he already has his friend, Rena Wilson, lined up to be the main character.
Who's that?
He is an actor that's best known for Mike and Molly. I think he was Mike's best friend. Mm-hmm. And he's also in this new show called Good Girls.
Okay.
It's in its second season, going on to a third season. So.
That was spooky.
All right, so.
All right, guys.
For Atomic Basement and Drinking with Comics.
400 East 3rd Street.
He's
Long
Mike.
Beach, 90802.
He's Mike Wallman.
310-294-4444.
I hope you didn't just give your number out, but that's fine.
That's our store
number. Oh, the store number. Okay. Yeah. And then, Anthony, do you want to say anything if you're listening?
I guess he's not listening.
We learned God's name is Anthony, so, we talk to him sometimes. And I'm Sean, and we'll be back.
We'll be back next month.
Woo!
There you go.
Our best episode in a year.
That's not saying much.